However, welcome to conference call number 153 of Revi's going to cover the 15 questions of Sukkot that we didn't cover last week. Revi.
Thank you so much. This call is coming from the Holy Land. We're here for an important family simcha. So it's an extra special treat to teach Torah from the Holy Land to our good friends who are at the present time in Chutzlars. Question one. A family in my shul has a large sukkah which lays a schach mat over a pergola with aluminum louvers. They put wood between the metal frame and the mat, but the space between each louver seems to be just a few inches, certainly less than lovet. The mat is stiff enough that it does not seem to descend between the louvers to interrupt the lovet. Expensive sukkah, predated my arrival, did not ask my predecessor when they built it, say something that may well cause an issue. Now then, popular family, hosting many families in their sukkah. Rules similar to the shul in the past, people may see this and assume it's acceptable. In such a situation, what should a shul rav do? This is a big machlokes. There is an opinion which says you do not apply the principle of lovid lahachmir. And therefore the question doesn't even begin. It's no problem whatsoever. Who disagrees? The Bach. The Bach says you say love of the Hachmir. However, even the Bach may agree that if the mat would descend the louvers, it would interrupt the love of it, as the questioner seemed to assume. Not everyone gets to that either. But if it doesn't, we can still say it's permissible. Because after all, there's something there between, even if it's a little bit on top. More than that, Shlomo Zalman is Mekel. Chelek Aleph Simit Sadi Aleph Sikot Yutest of Micha Shlomo. And therefore, it's what to rely upon. And since it's what to rely upon, I do not believe that the Rav should make any protests. One day he may give a shiur about it. That's a bit of a dispute. But if Shlomo Zalman was Materit, we don't make an issue over it to get into trouble with the community. If people ask you privately, tell them it's a machlokes, and maybe a person should be more machlokes if he wants to on a personal basis. Question two. On Simchat Torah, we give everyone an aliyah. A, one individual who wants to lay in his own aliyah, assuming he knows how there is any problem with allowing him to do. B, after all, everyone goes out to make kiddush and eat something. If you're a minyan issue at all times. And this person is getting a kol anorim, chos and torah, chos and resh, and mafter. Allowed to make kiddush before the aliyah. C, is it appropriate to break up into smaller groups of multiple readings to expect the process? D, would it be appropriate to daven shachris, then musaf on Simchat Torah, and then have a kafas and kriyas haTorah, because often people leave after the chasanim are read. Okay. Answer is A is okay. B is okay. That happens in my shul. C is okay. That happens in my shul. D is not okay. We try not to say the Seder about Tefillah. It shouldn't be done. Oh, I forgot about E and F. I'm sorry. E, there's only two Kohanim and five Levim and the rest, approximately 50, are Yisraelim. What's the proper order for the people for the Aliyahs? The answer is very simple. You first call Kohen Levi and three Yisraelim twice. Then you call Levi and Yisraelim three times, and then all Yisraelim. F. I see that Simchat Torah shuls will give aliyahs to the boys under bar mitzvah. What age is appropriate? Very simple. Age that a person, boy, can say the brachas before and the brachas after. If he's able to say the brachas before and after, then he should be called up to say the aliyahs instead of my shul. Even the youngsters, as long as they're able to recite the bracha before and the bracha after, even if it takes them a long time to do it. That's our custom. Three, I have a shlak over my sukkah and some water does accumulate on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Am I allowed to take it off if I know that it will go on the grass below? What type of segregation do we view it as? And are there other factors, maybe with star after a minute? Some wanted to say it's only a grummer, the segregation maybe from his the alumda shashayla. Let's assume the minute you lift up the shlak, the water goes directly on the grass. Not so simple. On a simple level, it should be prohibited. It's a psik resha. And even if it's what we call lo nichala, you don't care about the grass, but zorea, pashas is zorea. If you irrigate something which is growing, and it's a potentially daraisa, and if psik resha, even the lo nichala, by a daraisa, Shulchan Aruch adopts a stricter view. The Aruch is lenient, but he says not to rely upon the Aruch. Not just a simple matter. I would say it should not be done for that reason. Now, there is an opinion of the Maharal Prague, Gur Aryeh Shabbos Hayin Gimel Amud Beis, we suggest something along the line of the questioner. We should consider it to be a grama. Why a grama? You give a look and you'll see. Well, the water falls on it now. It doesn't grow right away. It grows later on. So you have to measure the malacha as being when it grows. There's a famous discussion that Rashash and others, what happens if a person plants something and then he uproots it before it grows? Is he chayev or not chayev? Too much to go into at the present time. But that's what the Maharal Miprak suggests, that yes, you're right. Segregation by grama is effective. And he considered every case of the rare to be a grama. But the majority of you is not that way. If I'm take a hose and I'm watering grass, it's called a psikresha immediately because I started the process immediately, even though it takes a while for it to start growing. So that's why it's hard to rely on the Maharal Miprag, even though it's in the Gedol Hadar. It's difficult, even though the principle is correct. It's based on a Shulta Giborim and Shabbos. Even if psikresha is a nichole, it's okay if what we call the achazman. In my view, you must hold that way. Otherwise, you can't open the door to your house in the wintertime. Because when you open the door to your house in the wintertime, cold air goes in and affects the thermostat. It's going to put the heat on earlier than it would have otherwise. How can you do that? The answer, I believe, is it's the psikresha, the achazman. And therefore, I believe that the Shulta Giborim is halacha lemaisa. Now, if you can arrange that you pick up the roof, that the water should not go straight onto the grass, find some kind of a gizmo to make sure there's some kind of a delay, then it's what to talk about. Now, I never knew written literature, but how much man is called the Yachas Man? Don't know. But I just saw a beautiful book, pre-publication, by Rabbi Jachter Shlita. It's called Bishul Basics, I believe. And he quotes two sources that deal with it directly. The most lenient view is Rabbi Yisrael Rosen, Zichron Levracha. He was in Karmiyah in my time. And then he took over at Somet, because all Rabbi Shlomo Zalman on many, many things. He writes in Tchumen Lamed Daled, page 23, that he thinks maybe even 2 to 3 second delay is sufficient. You get that from? Based on the concept known as Toch Kedei Dibur. Toch Kedei Dibur. Okay, maybe. Ideally, he says 10 seconds. 10 seconds, that's already a long time. So, you know, if you make some kind of a thing that the water, when you pick it up, doesn't go straight onto the grass, but it finds its way through some other roof or something or other, just to make sure there's a delay, 2 seconds, I'm not sure if it suffices. Rabbi Heinemann Shalita is quoted in two places on the Star K. Again, we're both quoted by Rabbi Jachter. In one place, he says 5 seconds. Another place, he seems to say 15 seconds. Now, I don't know what the basis of any of these shiurim are, but the context over there was opening an oven when there's food left inside and only taking out half. So I wrote that it's permissible, and Rabbi Neuberger Shlita questioned that. He said he experimented, and it goes on very, very quickly, even less than 10 seconds, which may be the cutoff point, according to some. I didn't have that experience. Neither did the Jachters. But the Jachters said they tried it. It was between 17 and 30 seconds, which is considered to be a grumma, according to all of these measurements. I can't vouch these measurements are true, but I have no other measurements. So 17 is more than the... In one place says 15 to 25 seconds. But another place says 5 seconds. I assume one is the Chatzil and one is the B'diyevin. I have to look in the stock here, say publications. So if you can arrange of some kind of a delay of that many seconds, I believe is what to talk about. Now there's an interesting tshuva Rav Moshe. It was asked, may one lower the flame on Yom Tov? His response is something quite purposefully enigmatic. If you can lower it, you can even turn it off. If you can't turn it off, you can't even lower it. Yes, Rabbi, but what do you hold? He didn't say. The word of the street that he held it was mutter. And that always bothered me. Why should it be mutter to turn it off? It's extinguishing a fire. It could be, okay, I don't know where Moshe's thinking was, if he said it. It could be that if you have a gas oven, so the gas goes through a certain pipe, and when you turn off, you're cutting off the gas at a point on the pipe, which is not literally on top of the fire. So maybe it takes 2 or 3 seconds, I never looked carefully, till from the time you turn the knob till the fire actually goes out. And maybe I might consider it to be grumma. Maybe. I'm just letting you know it's a possibility. Okay. Now we have to go to the next page here. Next question. What is the definition, halacha, of maimid and maimid and maimid by sukkah, including the scaf? Specifically, following cases. A, canvas sukkah with lover straps that the canvas is folded over the metal poles of the frame and the schach is placed on top of that. B, wooden poles that he puts the bamboo schach on top of. C, hard plastic holders of wooden poles that are secured into holes on top of a fiberglass sukkah with bamboo placed on top. So let's set the record straight. We pass in the halacha that Maimid is kosher. That may come as a shock to you. The Bach, once again, the Bach causes problems. And the first question is causing us problems again. The Bach said that Maimid made a problem, Mi'ikir Adin. But no one else agrees with it. The consensus is that's not true. Not true. And certainly Maimid, the Maimid. Yes, Chazanish is Machmer, even Maimid, the Maimid is true against all other poskim. He himself admits that's mutter, strictly speaking. Yeah. And therefore, there's room to be lenient, even if it is a maimon. This idea of putting a hefsek, at the match of your hefsek between the schach and the metal, it seems to be very difficult. Marashach, if a maimon is a problem, so who cares if you put a piece of canvas? If not, you don't need a piece of canvas. I don't really feel the canvas is malav or a moed, but that is a minig olam. I'm the first to agree. B, should certainly be okay, because the wood is not an intrinsic psul. C, plastic is intrinsically psul. However, it seems to me from the question that the only thing that the plastic is needed for, that the schach shouldn't blow away what we'll call in our language a ruach she'ena metsuya, an unusual gust of wind. Doesn't happen all the time. There's no din of ma'amid at all. It's found in the Chazanish, in Simon Kuf Mem Gimel, Simkotin Beis. Iske Shuvas quotes it, Torfresh Chav Tes, footnote 67. And therefore, if all it's doing is preventing it from flying off, that's not considered to be a ma'amid. Not considered a ma'amid at all. Okay. 5. The Maisa. She won't sleep in a sukkah. If a person walks up with his mother or his wife, is nervous. The Ramah and Simitov Reish Lamatesh base, the minig is not to sleep in the sukkah for 2 reasons. Either because it's too cold, or if he's married, he can't find a private sukkah for himself and his wife. Obviously, the Rama is the Rama. The Neyus Sol Yosin Biad Rama. A person can rely on the Rama. And he himself writes that only the Medakta given mitzvahs would sleep in the Sukkah. Already then, you want to be Medakta given mitzvahs? You should see if being a doctor is worthwhile to go start up with your wife or with your mother. That's a question which I can't answer. Every person has to know if that's going to cause controversy. We try to avoid splitting between parents and children, husbands and wives. Okay. Six. If one generally sleeps in the sukkah, but his weather app says 90% or 100% chance of rain in the middle of the night, must he go to sleep until it rains? Is the fact that it looks overcast a factor? Good question. The Ritva Nafchav test suggests that it's very cloudy, it's obviously about to rain, you need not go into the sukkah. But the problem might be, as far as sleeping is concerned, where obviously even a little bit of rain would deter a person while sleeping to wake him up, as opposed to eating, we might be more strict. Seven, if it's raining, first as it was, the Siyat I will hope will not be. Lemaisa, how long should one wait before eating in the sukkah and coming inside? Does it make a difference what the weather forecast is? My opinion, how much? You shouldn't wait at all. As soon as it gets dark, kiddush should be made. Right away, eat a kazayas of pas and go inside to finish the meal. This idea of going to the kiddush at the beginning was instituted for a complicated reason that has to do with saying two shechianus. It's to be a problem. Okay, it's a problem, but it's not the end of the world, and therefore it seems to me you should not wait. If you wait, you mevatel simchas yomtiv. Now, one of the proofs, you have to wait till chatzos, to midnight, is you have to wait for wine before saying Havdalah. But that's different. Wine before Havdalah, I mean, eating before Havdalah is an absolute prohibition. Here, it's a complication which is going to cause an extra shechayonu. No, it's not the end of the world if it happens. So that's why it seems to me that we should not keep people waiting. It's a real bitul simchas yomtiv, but I mean real big time. So what happens to me, I would just go right to the kiddush, right to wash, and eat in the sukkah, and then come back to the house. That's what I do in my house if it happens. Although I understand that the Shulchan Aruch has a different pshat, or I should say the Rama, based on the Trumas Hadeshin, but it seems to me that there's room to go the other way, since in almost every case it's going to lead to a bittul of Simchas Yomtiv. Shouldn't even wait two or 3 hours that are recommended. I don't think it's a good idea. Look in the Sharat Tzvi, the Tov Resh Lamed Tes, Simchas Samechei, and the Mishibur Lamed Hei. You'll see sources there as well. Okay. We're going further. Chol HaMoed. May a girl buy her hair extensions and then cut them down to size. They want to add a men's shirt to baby clothing and a washing machine. So the first is a good question. Paul can say in Simon Tov Kuf Mem Vav Sifei, it seems to be okay. Why? Galach explains. Every care for a woman's hair is called Tzorach HaGuf, which is equated with Ochel Nefesh. And Ochel Nefesh is mutter with a normal way, no sheen is required. Can you imagine that? I guess the common thread is take care of the body. So if you eat, you take care of the body. If you forgive me with the comparison, but these kinds of actions, which hair extension, whatever that means, is also considered to be like a Tzorach HaGuf. And therefore, would be okay. But a men's shirt, baby clothes, nope. I don't think it's allowed. It's only because of the children that muddy themselves all over the place. But to do this, I do not believe that's true. I'll give you the sources. And Mr. Brewer, Bialacha, Tufkuf Membev, Sifei Damascus, Kol, all the hair stuff is called Tzorach Aguf, Shagokal Nefesh. B is Asur, who said so. It's a beautiful sefer called Hilchos Chol HaMoed, I guess it's called. And Moshe is true about this over there. Os Tess in the back. He says, no, can't do it. Kids close, yes, you can't throw in your men's shirt. Number nine, on a Chol HaMoed, they once sew a button that fell off. They once sew a hem or a seam. It doesn't matter if the person doing the sewing is good or not good at sewing. So, as it says, we know the distinction between a Maisa Uman and a Maisa Hedgehog. So some of the Sfarim said, you don't want to put out a button. You know what you do? Just have two people do it together. One do two holes, one do the other two holes, it won't last so long. So Maisa Hedgehog. Suggestion of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky in that beautiful sefer in the back, Paragimel Fenot Chavav. But even this, only if you don't have another garment, and you can't live without the button. That comes there in footnote 18 from Rabbi Moshe. So therefore, in principle, maybe it's okay, but the Maisa should be avoided if it's at all possible. Now, good or bad at sewing. What can I say? You should look in Tav, Resh, Mem, Aleph, Siv Dalet. A typical woman considered an Uman. She knows how to sew. She'd have to make some kind of a shinui, let it go through. After some of the men in the school don't know how to sew. So if you did it, it would probably be okay. Number 10. Wear a new suit for the first time? That's a very good question. I have a shita. It's only unique in that no one seems to say it in the 21st century. It goes back a long way. And it's Siv, who lived in the 19th, and it goes back to the Ramban, who lived in the 13th. It's a long, long tradition based upon two otherwise contradictory phrases in the Ramban and the Torah of Adam. And the answer is, if someone passes away on Yom Tov, then there is Avelis. If someone passes away before Yom Tov knocks it off, there's no Avelis whatsoever. Nothing. Zero. So it seems to me, based on that, an Avel can wear his new suit for the first time on Yom Tov. On Yom Tov. Cain Nira. 11. But the proper concept for an Avel, we go on dancing by Simchas Torah, Kaiman Hachnasa Sefer Torah, and Kiddush Levana. Excellent question. So Simchas Torah is quoted in the Svara, the Mishnah Berurah talks about it. The minig is not. You'll ask, it's a contradiction what I just said before. There's no avelus on Yom Tov. That's true, but there's an exception to the rule. They made a rule at the dance. If not for that rule, one could have said he could dance even Stam Kaka because Kavanah Torah Odif. Whole idea of dancing. That's what's a dance in Yom Tov. How do we dance in Simchas Torah? Kavanah Yom, of Kavanah Torah, I should say, is Docha, which otherwise seems to be a prohibited action of dancing on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So, you know, they would say in the old days, yeah, it's only Yom Tov Shein Derabbanan. Not only worked until we got there at Yisroel, because there at Yisroel, Simchas Torah, as we know, is on Shmini Atzeres. We sadly, if we didn't know before, when we called October 7th, which was Shmini Atzeres Simchas Torah, so all the same day in the Holy Land. And we danced. Simchas Torah should certainly have been mutter. I think it's a special takana not to do it, which should be kept should be kept. Look, we don't go around on Hoshana Rabbi either, all 7 days either. That's not much of a party. I mean, it's true. Would you call that a dance? You call that a dance when you walk around with Sefer Torah on a Shanis behind it? That's not a dance. It's just a walk, a shuffle. But there's a minig. You don't do it because it reminds of other things, whatever it may be. It's hard to prove on this issue from these customs. Okay. Kiddush Havana, I would say no. I would say it's great. You should. Another Sefer Torah, it also really should be no, although it's a Kavanah Torah. The Mishnah Berurah, his intro to Tav Resh Samech Tes, or Simchas Torah, told about the minig they used to have, and would sit around and Kishavach Vatlan Kashvach about Torah. And he says, well, even an Avil can participate. In my opinion, because no Avelis on Yantav. The Mishnah Berurah says, you know why? It's Kavanah Torah. Kavanah Torah, it's a unique duration, which might not call for failure. So I would still say it's better not to dance the Chalon Sefer Torah. It has to be done for whatever reason. There's room to be here. 12. She has nicer clothing for Yom Tov than for Shabbos. It is hard to differentiate between levels of clothing. That's the whole answer. In theory, yes. In practice, it's not so easy to have all these different levels of clothing. Especially talking about men's suits, which all look the same, at least to my eye. If you look at Mishnah Berurah Siman Tov Kuf Lamed Sifkot Aleph, the Maril wore his fancy thing on Shabbos Chol HaMoed. He wore it. So I would answer you that in theory, the answer is yes. In practice, it's hard to know. Even this minig, if you look at the Sharet Zion, Sukhandala, he says, well, we don't follow that. We don't follow that. Now, again, it's hard to know. In theory, you have to have four types of suits. Number 13. Kalamari should be a Shabbos suit, Yom Tov suit, nice weekday suit, Sefer Kalamari suit. He's assuming you have four different levels of suits. So, if you look at Mishnah Berurah, again, the Maharal used to wear his Shabbos sticker, kapota, on Kalamari. The Sharet Zion Dalet says that he did it, but we don't do it nowadays. Just a little bit nicer then your weekday, whatever that means. Okay. You want to wear your upper suit, upgrade, it's okay. A nice weekday suit, perhaps that's considered to be more nice than a plain weekday suit, which the Mishnah Berurah says is okay. Specific Chol HaMoed suits, yes, that's the best. I don't even have to go buy a separate suit just for Chol HaMoed. What are my thoughts on moving Dukkah to Shabbos on Shabbat morning as customary shoes? Yes, we do it on our shul. Once you get to Musaf, they already have something to drink, and they disqualify it. Finally, at a sukkah, when one goes with children from sukkah to sukkah, how do we handle birchos hanenin on the food? Can one have in mind to say brachos in the first sukkah and have them covered through the last one since they know they'll be attending X number of sukkahs? They don't know the menu in each sukkah. Is that a shad to make brachos in each sukkah? Since often food and dessert are offered, does nimlach apply? It seems to me you should make a bracha on every single sukkah differently. You don't know what they're serving. You don't know where you're going. You might think you're going here and end up going there, as you well know. I wish everybody on the call a kshiva v'chashima tova and a chag sameach.
Thank you very much, Rebbe, and we'll be in touch sometime over Yom Tov to figure out when we'll do it again after Yom Tov.
Okay.
Thank you.
Be well. Bye.